Chapter 13 continued. Lefty's next recording session was in Nashville at Bradley Film and Recording Studios. Some of the best musicians in the world joined Lefty and Don for what would be Lefty's only session that year. Planned on the session were Grady Martin, Sugarfoot Hank Garland, Harold Bradley, Joseph Sinkin, Buddy Harmon, the great Floyd Kramer, and one of the great fiddle players, Dale Potter. "That's All I Can Remember," written by Mary John Wilkins and Mel Tillis, was a song as sad as The Long Black Veil, but it didn't get the airplay and certainly didn't sell as well. The other songs recorded were So What, Let It Rain, written by Lefty, and a very clever song written by Mel Tillis, What You Gonna Do, Leroy. Lefty and Alice went to Hawaii later that year. Lefty only played a few dates, so it was more of a vacation than work. While Alice was there, she learned to cook a complete 5-course Chinese dinner. That was great because when they got back, Alice practiced what she learned on the rest of the family. I had recorded another session for Columbia Records and just wasn't having luck with getting any hits either. So all we did was tour up and down the coast of California. Finally, I went to Lefty and told him that I had decided to join the military, hoping to better my education. Lefty asked me, "You mean you're going to volunteer to get up at 4 a.m. and march all over the place with some guys hollering in your face and eating off the ground? Boy, you must be crazy." "Well, I may do some of that, but I'd like to get more of an education. I need to learn more than just running around the country playing those old smoky dives. I think what I want more than anything else right now is just to learn to be on my own. You know, I love working with you. It's been the best school anyone could ever hope for, but I need to do something for me, you know, on my own. You know, make a decision and play it out, good, bad, or indifferent. Either reap the benefits or face the consequences. You know, that's what you've done all your life. I guess really what I want is to start living my own life." Lefty laughed. "Oh, you're going to reap the benefits and face the consequences, all right. Wait till you've been in the Army for about a week." Then Lefty became serious. "I understand what you're saying. I don't know if joining the service is the right move or not, but doing something for yourself, by yourself, I certainly understand. Good luck, my boy." I joined the Air Force on August 22, 1960, along with two high school buddies. Betty and her husband, Russell, came to spend New Year's with Lefty and Alice. They were living about 2 hours away, just outside of Ojai, where our folks were living. When they arrived, Alice was getting ready for a New Year's Eve party. She was very excited. "We're going over to a friend's house. He's a doctor and kind of, you know, kind of highfalutin. Sonny don't want to go, but I'm going to have a good time. These are the kind of people we should get to know. So, Betty, you and Russell make yourself at home. We'll be in after the party." "That sounds like fun," Betty said. "You two have a great time, and we'll watch the kids. Besides, Alice, you deserve to go out. You never go and have any fun." "Well, I'm going too tonight," Alice said as Lefty called for her. "Alice," Lefty called, "I've already told you I don't want to go to this damn party. I don't know any of these people. Don't want to know any of these people either. And I don't like the way this shirt looks." "Oh, Sonny, I'll iron it for you. You're going to look so nice." Alice disappeared into the bedroom. Betty could hear our brother complaining. "Alice, you're just saying that. You know I don't look good because you know I don't want anything to do with this." "Ah, Sonny, you're going to have a good time. You'll probably be the life of the party. Quieten down. Your sister Betty and Russell just got here." "All right, I'll just stay with them when you go to this stupid party." About 10 o'clock, Lefty and Alice were walking out the door. Betty said, "You both look real good. Y'all have a great time and we'll be waiting for you. We're only going about 2 blocks over. If anything goes wrong, Lois knows where we are," Alice told Betty. "Okay, well, everything will be fine. Have a good time and we'll see y'all later." Betty and Russell were watching television when, around 1 o'clock in the morning, Alice burst through the door. Betty and Russell looked up surprised. "You can go get your brother." Alice said as she walked into Lois's room. Betty and Russell went out to the car. Lefty was passed out on the passenger side. Russell opened the car door and caught Lefty before he fell out. Betty shook her head.
I don't want to seem like this. I'm going in the house. She turned and walked away.
Russell helped Lefty out of the car and half carried him into his bedroom. Russell laid Lefty on the bed and turned off the lights and left him alone to sleep it off. Lefty fell off the bed 3 times and Russell picked him up 3 times. Finally, Betty told Russell to just leave him on the floor. The next morning, Betty and Russell wanted to leave, but they couldn't get their goodbyes said because of the fight. Alice was cursing Lefty because he embarrassed her. You were falling into people, grabbing their drinks, pushing them around. You were drinking everything in sight. You wouldn't let anyone else talk. You grabbed the doctor's wife and tried to dance with her. Alice, I did not grab the doctor's wife. I kind of fell into her and I was only trying to hang on. Sonny, Alice didn't slow down. Now you know you don't dance and no one else was dancing. But there you were. You looked pitiful, drunk and pitiful. Well, Alice, I told you I didn't want to go. Alice, remember one thing. Don't ever make me do that again. Before Betty and Russell left, Betty got the opportunity to talk to Lefty alone. Sonny, why did you do that to Alice? She never gets the chance to do anything. You just spoil the whole night for her. She never gets the chance to be proud of you in front of other people. How could you do this to her? Well, Betty, Lefty put his arm around his sister's shoulders. Those are not my kind of people. I don't even know how to talk to a doctor except to tell him where I may be hurting. I didn't want to go in the first place. Lord knows I've told her enough times. I can't relate to what these people do, and they can't talk to me about singing or writing a song. We're just not on the same level. Anyway, it's over, and I'll bet she won't do that again. When Lefty went to Nashville for his February 7, 1961 session at Owen Bradley's Quonset Hut studio, he recorded 2 more songs that he'd written, I Feel Sorry for Me and Looking for You, plus a song written by Wayne Walker called Heaven's Plan. This time, while he was in Nashville, Lefty drove around looking at property. A real estate agent took him around Old Hickory Lake. He told Lefty there was good fishing, plus a lot of country music people lived by the lake. Hendersonville was a small community northeast of Nashville situated on Old Hickory Lake, and Lefty liked that area at the time. In the winter of 1961, Columbia Records bought out Owen Bradley's Quonset Hut studio and opened an office in Nashville. Across the street from Columbia, Jim Denny opened his office and started booking Lefty. Some of these early bookings were for very low money. One contract Lefty received from Jim Denny's agency was for $250, and Lefty had to go to North Carolina to play the show. These small-paying jobs continued throughout 1962 and on into 1963. Later, Lefty signed as a writer to Cedarwood Publishing, owned by Jim Denny and Webb Pierce. After signing to Cedarwood as a writer, Lefty got a chance to work with some of the best writers in the business, such as Mel Tillis and Mary John Wilkin. On May 9, 1962, Lefty recorded at what was now Columbia Recording Studios. Lefty recorded a great song called Stranger, co-written by Wayne Walker, and 3 other songs. The session did not produce a hit, and now Lefty really needed a hit song. This was the only way to get better bookings and more money.
Nobody knows but me.